Welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. Where do I begin to introduce today's conversation? Old enough to have a past and young enough to have a future? Old enough to know better, young enough to do it again? Or take this phone and shove it? My guest today is one of us. It's her comment, old enough to have a past and young enough to have a future. She has a knack for explaining tech to those of us who didn't grow up with it. Now, I spend a lot of time online. I've had only a smartphone for almost a decade, and I still learned a few things chatting with Anne. Take This Phone and Shove It is the name of her book. We discuss smartphones, both iPhone and Android, and she explains flip phones. Now, soapboxes for both of us, we also get into online security and safety and ageism. Listen now. Old enough to have a past and young enough to have a future. Old enough to know better, young enough to do it again. The first comment is from my guest today. The second one is my version of it. Anne messaged me some time ago to tell me about a book she'd written called Take This Phone and Shove It. With a title like that, of course I was going to chat with her. It was written for all of us over 60-ishes who've gotten really frustrated when our smartphones think they're smarter than us. But that's not all Anne speaks on. Two of my favorite soapboxes, actually, online safety and ageism. So I think we're going to have some fun. Anne Goldberg, welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey.
Oh my God, it is such a delight to be here because I am certainly embracing this journey. In less than 2 weeks, I will turn 73, which is just such a weird number. And it's sort of a meaningless marker to me.
It is just a number, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. my theory. So that's great. Okay, Anne, how does a person transition from executive recruiter to Android and iOS phone expert?
Well, it was 2013. And yes, I had spent 23 years as a successful executive recruiter for actuaries, then raised my kids for some 10 years. And got back into the recruiting market in 2007, but 2009 came along and just blew that up. And I spent the next 4 years trying to figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up. And it was a very frustrating time. And one day in October of 2013, I came home, literally hit my knees and said, I surrender. I don't know how to make a living. I don't know what people would pay me to do that I would love to do. So I'm not looking for a job. You send me the signs, I'm watching. And it took less than 2 weeks for six seniors to call me out of the blue, never knew them before. And they all said more or less the same thing. Not sure how I got your number, but I hear you teach computers to seniors. Can you help me? And by the sixth call, because it took six for me to get the message.
Slow learner, it's okay.
Yeah, well, you know. By the sixth call, I looked up and I said, okay, message received. And I mean, the first call I made, I got hired. And it was just doors flew open. And I have never been so happy doing any work that I've done in my life that I feel while I am working with seniors and helping them to understand this technology.
Now, on your website, you say the average age of your clients is 85. That's really heartening for those of us who aren't quite there yet.
Oh, absolutely. And let me tell you, many of them, you know, they say, oh, you know, 80 is the new 60. Let me tell you.
Sorry. That one drives me crazy.
Well, but to an extent, because so many of the people that I see are so vibrant and so with it, but the phone is just alien. But once I'm able to explain to them, because what I bring to the party is my ability to communicate the technology. I'm not a geek. I'm not an expert on phones per se, but I am expert at understanding what stops a senior from from being able to relate to the phone. And I teach in a way that has them understand what it is. So I just am grateful to be doing what I'm doing. And 85-year-olds are pretty sharp.
I will grant you that. No argument there. And I always say that this is what 70 is like these days. This is what 80 is like these days. Like, it's just get used to it.
So yeah. I mean, no, it's true. I can't jog like I did when I was in my 30s and 40s. My body won't sustain that. Although there are 80 and 85. Oh, my goodness. I was at a facility a couple of weeks ago. The guy was, he told me, 89 and a half. And he was moving out of independent living to go to a 55 plus because there wasn't enough physical activity because he runs for an hour and a half every day. And I sat there, my jaw fell open. So, yeah.
Something to aspire to. That's good. Okay, magic question. Do you have a preference, Android or iPhone?
Well, I think Android is a better, easier phone to use, actually. And by easier, I just mean the user interface is easier. Just the keyboard has numbers and letters. You don't have to switch back and forth as much when you're typing. There's an awful lot an Android can do. But the big downside with Androids are that it is an open source operating system, and the platform is simply not as secure as the iPhone platform is. And so at the end of the day, I really tell seniors, whatever your kids have, that's the phone you should have so that you can video chat directly when you're on a phone call with them. And it's very personal preference. Right now in this country, iPhone is outpacing Android for the first time since phones have come out. And many more people in the US are buying iPhones. It's a fabulous phone. So is the Android. It is a safer phone to use. It is a more secure phone. So that's where I land. I have an iPhone because my sons have iPhones. And, you know, I want to FaceTime with them.
Yeah, sounds about right. I identify with that. How is a flip phone different?
Flip phone is not a smartphone. A flip phone runs on cellular technology, which is a different frequency that the cellular carriers like Verizon and AT&T transmit. Smartphones are a completely different frequency and have the ability to send and receive signals in a way that cell phones don't have. So a flip phone is, it's very good for making phone calls, but little else.
Okay. So people joke about flip phones, and I had a flip phone years ago. I always just thought it was old technology. Are they still being made?
Flip phones are still being made. Burner phones are flip phones. A lot of young kids are going back. There's a whole, what they call the Luddite movement, where these Gen Zers are opting away from smartphones and buying things like flip phones because they don't want to be so connected. I don't think their issues and the issues of our generation are the same because their whole social life was so dependent on technology, and these kids are recognizing that that is an issue. But where it comes to seniors, the ability to have a social life on technology can be life-changing and life-giving, because they're not feeling as alone if they live alone or they're bedbound. So there are very different dynamics in place. But yes, flip phones are still being made. Cell phones are still being made. And I don't know, I think they might make up maybe 5% of the market out there.
Okay, I just learned something. There you go. What are the most common phone frustrations you hear from the over 60 crowd?
Oh my God, passwords. I mean, it is an absolutely astonishing phenomenon that people of our generation do not understand how important it is to have a unique password. And how I try and explain it to them is the username, let's think of that as the lock. The password is the key. Now, Each of us, we have an individual key for our front door, sometimes two different keys for security. We have a different key for our car. We had, when we had a vacation home or a second car or a boat, we had different keys for all of that. Your kid's house and your house don't have the same keys. Why? It's for security. If we had the same keys for everything, life would not be secure. And it's the same thing online. You can't, if you have the same password for all your accounts, it's like having the same key. And as soon as somebody gets a hold of your key, they can break into all of your business. And so passwords and password health are incredibly important. And the book has one enormous chapter on passwords. And I recommend password managers, whether you use Safari, if you're using an iPhone, if you have an iPhone and an Apple computer, use the password app in an iPhone and stay in the iPhone architecture because it's really safe. If you have an iPhone and a PC, as I do, then I need a third party to bridge that gap between my Apple device and my Microsoft device. So that for me is a company called Dashlane. There's also Bitdefender and NordPass. There are many good password managers. And a password manager saves your password. It creates them, and you never have to remember them. That's what the password manager does. In this case, all you need to remember is a single complicated password. And there are ways of doing that and keeping that password safe as well.
So I'm going to ask the question here. I also have a password manager because I've got a kajillion passwords. And that's on my laptop here that we're speaking to each other on right now. On my phone, I hesitate to do anything in an account that needs a password. So, I mean, I have the password to open up the phone, but I don't do banking online. I don't go to any of my, like, can't be bothered going to Facebook or any of those because I find them intrusive in the reverse. What sort of things do you do online on your phone that you access your password manager for?
Everything. Okay. Everything. I do banking online. I do everything online because here's the thing.
But on your phone, though?
Because my phone, unless I do something stupid and I tap on a blue underlined link, a hyperlink in a text or an email that I don't really know who it's from, that's the only way I'm going to harm my phone. As long as I have a passcode on it, it's not likely somebody is going to get my phone and be able to get in. The problem with password safety happens on the large scale breaches. When United Healthcare, or I think it was Equifax, it was either Equifax or Expedia, can't remember at the moment. When these companies get hacked, it's as if the bad guys, the criminals, get in the building and they get actually into the bank vault. Now, each box in that vault has its own password, i.e. its own key, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if they happen to know that that the vault box 1803 belongs to you, and in the breach, the email, your login, at least your email, but in some other breach, they were able to figure out your password. If you reuse that password, they're going to try it again, you see. And if you have a reused password, they're going to get right into your vault. Or if you have an easy password, they're going to get right into your vault. So password safety has more to do with when the criminals infiltrate large, massive businesses. I mean, United Healthcare had multiple tens of millions of people. The credit reporting agency has everything on us. When these breaches happen, that's when you start to get these spam texts and emails. Because the big company is breached, they know Ann Goldberg has this email, right? And so now they're going to be sending me emails to try and get me to click on one of those malicious blue underlined hyperlinks. Same thing with text messages. We have the perfect job for you. Your package has been delayed. You owe money to the SunPass system. Your Medicare card needs to be replaced. Click here. And they usually operate on fear. So as soon as you read something in a text or an email that has you go, oh, what? Almost 99% of the time, you know that's going to be spam.
Right. And, well, what I was going to say too is I use a site called Have I Been Pwned? Uh-huh. And I look and, oh, you know, sure, my email address is in there. But then I check which companies have been compromised. And I go like, okay, no credit card information there, no credit card information
right.
there. So that right. I don't worry as much. And I don't open emails from places
right.
from people I don't know or answer the phone or anything.
But the 80-year-olds do.
Mm, yeah.
Yesterday in the class I taught, I'm sorry, on Monday, we talked about the grandparent scam because with AI, it just went into another level of terrifying because they can clone voices. So now you get a phone call with somebody who absolutely sounds like your kid or your grandkid. Absolutely. That's their voice, right? And they're telling you they're in trouble and you have to send them money. But the thing is, you have to send it versus via a wire transfer. You can't, you know, or you have to, they want you to Zelle it because you can't get a Zelle back. Once you send it, you're done. So they want you to send it in ways or gift cards in ways that are untraceable. And those are your tips. So the pointer that I give out to all of my clients, because two of them, one lost $3,000 and one lost $2,000 in this scam. What you do is you make up a special word, like a password between you and your family. Whatever it is, you know, and you know that if you get a call and all you have to do is, okay, honey, just what's the special word we have? And they're not going to know it. And you're going to be able to hang up feeling really good that you just avoided getting scammed.
Right. Yeah. And I must admit my family's so widespread that I don't know if we could pull that together now, but what I have practiced in my head is asking a question like, oh, is Annie okay though? And uh-huh. there's no Annie in our life.
Right.
So if somebody
there
said, oh, yeah, it's okay, mom or grandma, Annie's fine. It's like, okay, click. Now, I did get a message on WhatsApp saying, hey, mom, I lost my phone, so I'm using this. Can you blah, 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 blah. You know, go open up WhatsApp and text this number or something. And, you know, because I wasn't exactly born yesterday, I messaged my daughters and said, did your brother lose his phone? And of course they do a quick text. No, everything's fine, mom. I went, okay, delete.
So. Exactly. And that is good online safety. Confirm. Take no action until you confirm whether or not this is real. And the chances of it being real are very slim. Because the real, you know, when we owe the government money, there's a particular envelope we get in the mail. We all know what that envelope looks like. The one from the federal government, whether it's the IRS or Medicare or whatever it is, they're very distinctive. That's how they communicate with us.
I'm in Canada, and what we might get, our version of the IRS is the CRA, and they'll send us an email saying, you have mail in your account. So it's like, okay, close the
right.
email, open a new tab, go into my CRA account. Like there's
That's
no links,
right.
there's nothing to click. It's just
that
you go,
right.
yeah. So, you know, just remembering those things, yeah.
And that is safe. You know, even if, let's say you bank with Bank of America and you get an email that absolutely looks like Bank of America, don't click on a link. Go to the internet, open a tab, go to BOA.com and log into your account and see what's going on that way. Never click on the links.
Yeah, I think.
Unless it's sent to you by your kid and you know it's from your kid or your best friend or something like that, that's different. Those links you can click on.
The other one that I received just literally 2 days ago, and It looked familiar, so I didn't respond. It was from a friend. Now, the return address was via another email address, because that's one thing I always check is where did this email come from? But it was something like, oh, just wondering, do you use Amazon? And I'm going like, okay, I think I've heard this question before. So I closed that, opened up a new email and said, hey, did you just send me an email asking about this? But what is the point of something like that where you respond? Obviously, it's somebody else that gets the information or gets your response. Is that just to let them know it's a live email address? Okay. This is great. I'm sorry, so online security is such a soapbox for me.
It's so interesting because if you think about humans, I mean, there have been criminals since there have been humans. That there's always people who want what other people have and want to take it with some sense of violence or urgency. And so here we are. This is the 21st century version of pirates. And people want our money. You know, whether we have money or not, they want it. I have a friend who got taken in a romance scam. It's up to close to $200,000 now.
Oh, wow.
And she is convinced that this man is in love with her. It's just crazy. And then I have another friend who used to get on dating sites, and she's 90, and these men would come up to, you know, start conversations, and oh, they'd be so friendly, and then they'd ask her for money, and she would write back, "Give you money? Why would I give you money? I need money. You should give me money." And they always just ended the conversation.
That's great. Okay, let's go back to phones for a moment.
Sure.
Apps. How do we know if they're safe? Like we go to the App
Okay.
Store.
Well, there's another advantage that Apple has over the Android system. The App Store is safer than the Play Store. The App Store, you remember, only Apple engineers play in Apple's garden. So the App Store is generally better regulated for malware than the Play Store is. And because the Play Store, anybody can pretty much put apps in there. There have been something on the order of 10 different apps which have been put on people's phones innocently through the Play Store that have caused terrible breaches in security on the phones. So I don't have them in front of me, but it's you have to be very, very careful. Before you download any app, you want to look for the reviews. You want to go down the page in the app or Play Store, see how many reviews there are and what are there. What are they? If it's a low count of reviews, don't do it. Don't go on. You only want to download apps that have a lot of downloads, thousands, tens of thousands, you know. That's very important to read about that app before you go on. And you could even go online, open the internet, put in the name of the app and where you want to get it from, and just say safe. It's really important. I don't do anything. I recently had to get some new business cards, so I was trying a new site. And I had one with very great prices. But before I bought from there, I took the name of the company. Let's just say printers.com, for example. That wasn't it. Printers.com, and then a space and the word complaints. And I hit enter. And the results was one after another of complaints about this company. So I clearly did not use them. Then I went to another company. For pens, pens.com. And they had a 4.5 stars in Trustpilot and lots of good reviews all over the place with very few complaints. So I felt very comfortable ordering from pens.com. So it's incumbent upon us to do the research before we put anything on our phone. The same way before you would buy a washing machine, you'd want to find out which one is the best one. It's kind of the same thing. You just want to not be impulsive and really don't download from the web. You're on some website and they say, oh, download our app. Resist the urge to do that. Go to the app or the Play Store, see if it's there, and see what the reviews are.
Now, I'm going to ask a question because it leads into my real question. Is mm-hmm. Are older iPhones, is there a point in time where they don't update anymore?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I have an older iPhone because I'm one of those people, if it ain't broke, don't fix it or don't replace it.
Which one do you have?
8.
Yeah, you need to replace that. Because, 2 reasons. One, there are 2 ways that iPhone supports the phone. You get operating system updates, and then you get patches, security patches. There's 2 different things. So the operating system updates allow you to do more things with your phone. They upgrade, the connections are different, the interfaces look, they're updated, they're newer, different, more efficient, if you will. That's the operating system. At some point, your phone, your old phone, they're not going to send any more operating system updates. And I believe that the 8 is part of that. Security patch updates, they occasionally send for longer, but it's never longer than about 7, maybe 8 years. It's the security patches that are critical, because if the only reason they do that is because they found a flaw in the system that lets the bad guys in. So their engineers and programmers come up with a patch, right? Some coding that patches that hole and sends it out in the form of a security update. That is what keeps your phone safe. The operating system keeps it operating well, but the security patches keep it safe. And iOS, iPhone 8.
18, I think, now or something.
Well, 18 is the operating system. We're on an iPhone 16. iPhone 8, let's just see.
Mine says it's up to date to 16.7.10.
Okay, so it came out 7 years ago, and it was discontinued for almost 5 years ago, and support ended for it 6 months ago. So it's no longer being supported.
Okay. How I found that out is a friend of mine built an app, and I was very interested in it. So I went to the Play Store to download it, or not the Play Store, to the Apple Store.
The App Store.
When I tried to download it, it said that it was built for iOS 17.1. Your phone needs to update.
Right.
And of course, I tried to update it, and it said, no, it's up to date at this other, 16.7.
Right.
So, okay, well, I guess I need to put out a bit of money then.
Yeah. Now, you don't need to get the newest and the greatest iPhone. You can get an iPhone 15. You want to ask them, when you go to buy it, how many years of support will this phone receive? I believe the iPhone 15 will be supported. This one doesn't say for how long it'll be supported. But if it came out in 23, it'll be supported probably until about 2029.
Okay. It's interesting, and maybe I just missed the information, because on my laptop, I run Windows 10. For a year now, I've been getting the messages saying, how you can't update, you will be supported until October 2025, or you'll have the updates, and then that's it. So obviously before October, I need to buy a new laptop. I do not recall getting any of those sorts of messages about my iPhone 8. So Might be a nice little feature they added.
You don't necessarily. They don't necessarily send out. And first of all, Apple doesn't really know unless you've put in a warranty. They don't know necessarily who bought their phones because so many different places sell them. So I don't know that they, you know, will target iPhone 8 people. But I've never seen any of that. It's just that I know that the phones are supported for between 6 and 8 years. By Apple. And the Android phones were supported for less. Now they're starting to catch up and support also for about 6 years.
Okay. Just ruined my day. It's okay.
Yeah, you need a new. Sorry. I'm so sorry. You're going to love Windows 11. Though.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about messaging. The Messenger is a Facebook thing, isn't it? Okay.
Correct.
So we can leave that closed if we don't use Facebook. I turn off notifications because they drive me crazy. WhatsApp, is that just an Apple app or can anybody use it? Or
WhatsApp is owned by Meta.
Oh, okay.
By the company that owns Facebook. What distinguishes WhatsApp from other services is that it is 100% encrypted, which means nobody, not even the police, can see what is being sent in WhatsApp. Therefore, it's very popular among the criminals. They use WhatsApp. But WhatsApp is a wonderful service because it lets you video chat or message chat or phone call with anybody in your WhatsApp network. And there's absolutely no cost to it and is completely safe. Apple will tell you that iMessage, when you have sending a text message from one Apple phone to another Apple phone, that message is encrypted. However, if your messages are saved to your iCloud, the iCloud is not encrypted. So it's a little bit of a misnomer that iMessages are end-to-end encrypted if they're backed up. They're not. And the Android phone, they're not yet fully encrypted. They are working on, it's called RCS, and Android and Apple have now some limited encryption that goes between the devices. But again, if those devices are backed up in platforms that are not encrypted, ultimately your messages are not private as they are in WhatsApp.
I had an interesting thing that I actually just figured out this morning. I get occasional messages from people I don't know saying, hey, are we on for lunch today? That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I just, you know, click the little hamburger at the top and, you know, what is it? Choose conversations or whatever. And I click the ones that I don't want and delete. Not a problem. There was one that did not have the little round thing that I could click on. So it was sort of like it was there and I couldn't remove it. And it was only this morning when I was in there, I went, okay, I don't like opening those ones up because it shows that you've opened them. And so I just pressed on it for like 2 seconds, whatever it is. And it turns out it was a community. And I was able to leave the community, but I had not seen that before.
Right. Well, when you are in any given app, a conversation in WhatsApp, if you tap at the very top by the name of the person or tap on the name of the person, the screen changes and you get all the information about that person. And you have lots of options. You can lock a chat. You can encrypt that chat. You can clear it. You can block the person. Report the person. There's all kinds of things that you can do, which is why I always tell people when you're on your phone and you see, you're looking, you want to do something, you want to delete, but you do not see a way to delete. There's no garbage can. There's nothing that says trash, but there are three dots or three lines up at the top right, or left. If you tap on those three dots or three lines, you get more choices for that right. page. And in there will likely say the option to delete.
Yeah. And that's where, as I say, it didn't come up for this particular one. So as I say, I was just wondering about communities. It was a Bitcoin community. And I'm going like, okay, yeah, no, thank you.
So. Somebody got you. And it could be a fake community. You know, that it could be that they got your number in a
breach. Yeah.
Breach. Mm-hmm. So even in an encrypted platform like WhatsApp, you can still get bad actors trying to connect with you. The trick is just not to
yeah,
take the bait.
Exactly. Now, something I saw on your website, I'm just going to move on here. Hearing and touch needs. Can you explain what those are?
Each of the phones, whether it's Android or Apple, have something called accessibility settings. And these address people with vision, hearing, or touch issues, i.e. a tremor. So for somebody with Parkinson's, to speak to your question, and they have a tremor, right? But they have good aim. So the very first tap that they make, let's say they want to open their messaging app, the very first tap, they're correct, but then their hand continues to go and they tap somewhere else and the wrong thing opens. So there is a setting within accessibility under touch where you can tell the phone to either recognize the first or the last tap, but nothing else. So that is a godsend for people with a tremor. Then there are other adjustments, because some people with a tremor cannot control how long they press for or tap for. So there's a setting. You can make that to be extremely sensitive or less sensitive, so you have to tap more, accommodating the phone to what's going on with your physical body. And you can make text very large and very bold. And there can be a black background with white text, because for some people with certain vision issues, it's better and easier for them to read with that contrast rather than black on white. So there are lots of ways the phone can be accommodated for various physical conditions that unfortunately plague us as we get to this lovely golden age.
I often say that I got fat fingers because I'm always hit the wrong keys all the time. It drives me crazy.
All the time. A stylus really helps.
Yeah,
with
and
that.
You know, I've got, well, my old iPhone had a little hole where I could stick like this so the stylus would stay attached.
Yeah.
But now it's like my glasses, like I have no idea where they are. You know, that's the stylus. It's like, I'm sure I have it around here somewhere, but who knows where it is.
I know all about that.
Okay, I think I saw something on your website. I love browsing your website because it was like, oh, we can talk about that. Oh, we can talk about that. Alexa or Siri.
Yeah.
When they're off, they're not really off.
No. As a matter of fact, I just read an article in the Washington Post that Alexa is just getting sneakier and sneakier. It's really important. Alexa's always listening. The reason, and so is the Google Assistant. They're always listening because they're listening for their keyword. She's listening for Alexa, and Google is listening for Google. But if you happen to go get me my goggles, that's probably going to wake up Google. And now Google's going to be listening, not only listening, but recording everything you say. Alexa is recording. Once it wakes up, it records everything you say, and sometimes can be recording in the background. So it is absolutely terrifying how much we're being listened to, and that there are humans who listen to those recordings And those recordings can be used for training AI. And I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody knowing what goes on in my house, in my world. That is my business. And it's really scary. So you can sometimes, these recordings can be sent to a stranger. They are also taking away, they're changing a setting that enabled you to not record at all. And they're taking that away. So I don't have an Alexa. Yeah. I don't want a smartphone. A smart home. I don't want my life support to be on a hackable Wi-Fi system. Alexa may be great to be able to turn music on and off or lights lower and higher, but the fact is she is listening, they are recording, and it's saved until you go into your Alexa settings on your phone and you change those settings. So you want to go to settings, Alexa privacy, manage your Alexa data, and don't save recordings. This is very important for privacy. I'm on the same soapbox that you are yeah. with this one. Oh my God. And, you know, people keep an Alexa in their bedroom or in their, I've seen them in people's bathrooms. I don't think you want Alexa, you know, listening in. And that was one of the other things they said, don't put it in the private spaces of your home.
Well, and listeners who've ever talked about, oh, I'm thinking about getting my grandchild a new bike for Christmas. And within hours, they're seeing all these advertisements for bicycles and they can't figure out why.
Uh-huh.
That's why, you know,
exactly.
Somebody's listening.
Exactly. And having said all of this, when we get to a certain age and mobility is much more difficult, I'm going to say at that point, something like Alexa could be life-saving, life-giving to somebody who doesn't have to get, when if getting up and down is painful. You know, they can control the lights, they can control the temperature of the room and many other ambient features without having to move. And there is some benefit to that at a certain age.
Right. Now, you have a free guide to online safety on your website, don't you?
I do. When you sign up for our newsletter, you get a free guide. Because this is just, nothing is more important than this.
And what's in your newsletter?
Well, the first newsletter that's coming out is going to be highlighting the fact that I am going to be speaking at the Sun Sentinel Prime of Your Life Expo. That's here in South Florida. Sun Sentinel is a local newspaper, and they run a big expo for seniors. And I'm very excited to be a vendor and a speaker there. And so I'll be talking about that. But every newsletter is going to have a little tip in it. And eventually I'm going to have video tips in there. Just really short, how to do something. Just a great tip to start your week. They'll be useful. I'm not going to be really selling too much. It's more giving to people and supporting seniors in their quest to be able to feel good about using technology.
Right. And it sounds like you say start your week. So if you're giving out like one tip a week, it gives us time to practice it, look into it, work with it, whatever. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Not going to yes. drink from the proverbial fire yeah. hose.
No. And I will be offering webinars and group classes and things, various trainings as I go along. And the most important thing that I want to offer is I really want to inspire all of us at this time of our life to just know that, God, age should never define us. That no matter how old we are, we're old enough to have a past and young enough to have a future. And that is what is the driver. You know, how we live that future depends on the choices we make every single day, whether it's learning a smartphone for brain health and life support, or learning an instrument, or a new dance, or a new card game. This is calisthenics for our brain, and we never want to give that up. So I just want to be a champion and a real promoter of we're not too old to do anything. It's just, it's a point of view that you hold.
That might be the perfect segue into just a quick chat on ageism, because you must hear, I'm too old to learn that, or variations on that theme.
All the time. So, and what I say to somebody like that is, you know, you think you're too old, but here's the reality. Have you ever known anybody who has had a stroke and they had to learn how to walk again? Well, and even elderly people can do that, can accomplish that. Why? Because every day they get up and they practice. And it's a characteristic of the brain that when you practice something enough, the brain will take that in and form a new neural network from that practice. And eventually that new neural network gets cemented into the brain and becomes a memory, something new that we've learned. And so if that ability were not there, that person with a stroke would never be able to learn to walk or talk again. And even if certain areas of their brain that used to be responsible for those functions no longer work, other areas of the brain will make up for it. And it's the same thing with smartphones. If you are committed, if you're not impatient with yourself, if you have the ability and the sense of humor to say, I can do this. It's going to be a pain, but I can do this as long as I keep practicing. Just like playing the piano. I remember when I was 8 years old, I had piano lessons and I had to practice every day. And if I didn't, I was never going to get any better. And it's no different with the phone. So to my students who tell me I'm too old, my response is you're never too old. You may feel old, but that is a decision you make. And that's not necessarily has anything to do with your ability to learn. But if you don't want to learn and you don't practice, then you're right. You won't learn.
And I think, too, it's we pass on that sort of ageism by saying to our children or grandchildren, oh, this is just too technical for me. Show me how to do it, or you do it for me. And so they're going like, okay, well, you know, mom or grandma's this age, and so she's too old. So that means everybody that age, that whole generation is too old. And, you know, as inadvertent as it may be, we are promoting and spreading ageism to younger generations.
That's right. And I say no to that, adamantly no. And don't get me wrong. There are things that I will ask my kids or my husband to do because I don't feel comfortable doing it. Something I might have done 30 years ago. And I'm fine with that. But when it comes to my brain and what I can learn and what I can assimilate, oh, no, no, no. Don't tell me I can't. The only reason I can't is if I don't want to. You know, I don't, there's certain math that I'm not going to learn because I don't want to. I don't
exactly.
care.
Yeah, yeah. And I tend to get my right? kids or my grandson, my eldest grandson, to do, you know, just the odd thing for me because I think, well, just in case up the road I need help, it won't come as a surprise. Because I hear women all the time saying, oh, I don't need help, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to ask somebody to do it. And suddenly, you know, they've put their back out or their shoulder or something. So it's like, okay, like, I'll just give them the odd teaser to keep them aware of the fact that one day I might actually need help. So it works in that way.
It's a most interesting thing with kids and our generation, because our generation and Gen X are the only generations that didn't grow up with technology. My boys are millennials, and by the time my older son was about 10, there were video games really hot. The computer was definitely a thing by then. And at 11 or so, he got a phone because I wanted to know, because I used to have to pick him up and I felt more comfortable with him having us a phone. So he was a young kid. The other one's 4 years younger. So he was even younger when he got exposed to all of this. Our generation doesn't know this from a hole in the wall. It is alien. For us to pick up a smartphone and just pick it up and use it is tantamount to being dropped in the middle of Greece without knowing the language and told, go ahead, get around, you know, go feed yourself, go get a job. It's very hard to do because you don't know the language. But these kids, they immediately go to swipe or tap or press something immediately because that's what they're used to. We want to throw it.
I think my memory of my kids being young is saying, no, we're not going to buy that. It's too expensive or not, you know, whatever. And they go, Mom, just go to the bank machine and get money out. It's like, yeah, it's not a never-ending supply in there. Honest, it isn't.
Yeah, well, but they don't know
exactly.
That. They know the magic machine. The smartphone has so many benefits for us at this age. As I mentioned, the connectivity to family, near and far, is priceless and probably the single most valuable thing about this smart technology. And then beyond that, the access to information, to entertainment, to education, it is mind-boggling what you can do on these devices. And I think it's really good for our cognitive health to be challenging ourselves with something that can help us in the long run. And I think it's really great when people master this and can have connections with their family overseas. It's just thrilling when that happens.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, let's go back to the tech and the phone, all that stuff before we close. Tell us about your book. It's the end of May as this conversation hits the airwaves. Is it available? Where is it available?
The book will be available on my website and on Amazon. The website is takethisphoneandshoveit.com, just the way it sounds, all spelled out. And you'll be able to buy and through our shopping cart. And again, on Amazon. The book is really a summary of my over a decade experience of teaching seniors how to use these machines. And you asked before about obstacles and, you know, the fear that we're going to break them. That's a big obstacle. Our lack of patience with ourselves and our not learning fast enough. That's a big obstacle. And I address all of those things. And I really approach it from humor because if you can't laugh at this thing, then, you know, that's a problem. We need to be able to step back a little bit and understand that we really can figure it out. It just takes paying attention and reading the screen. And there is nothing more thrilling to me when I see somebody's face in a class going from absolutely confused to all of a sudden I see the light go on, that they understand what I'm talking about. And it's because of the way that I've developed in communicating these concepts. Would you like an example of one?
Sure.
Okay. So what is a modem? Tell me, what's a modem?
A modem is where the internet comes into your house.
Okay, it's where the internet comes into your house.
Or at least the machine that transports mm-hmm. it out to all the computers.
It's a machine. Uh-huh. So I now invite you to revisit life in the 50s and 60s when we had like one television.
And you had to get up to change the channel.
And we had to get up to change the channel or make it louder and lower. Or remember that used to roll, the TV would roll. Oh, my God. Now, my dad used to get up on the roof. And it was a whole chain. He would go, he would adjust the antenna, call to my brother, is that okay? My brother would call to my mother, is that okay? And I'd look at the TV and go, no. She go, no. He go, no. And then my father would do another adjustment. I mean, so what was that up on the roof? That was the antenna. And we all understood that the antenna was what received the signal and sent it down to the TV via a wire. Nobody questioned that because we also understood radio had these invisible signals that came across the machine. Well, a modem is nothing more than a series of antennas that operate on different frequencies from the one that used to be up on the roof. The one that was up on the roof only received signals. Antennas in modems both send and receive, which is how you can send an email and get one back. And the modems in the antennas in the modems, you have a TV antenna, you have an internet antenna. If your company offers home security, you have that antenna, you have a telephone antenna, and each of them are on different frequencies so that we get a phone call, so that we get an email or a text message. So a modem is nothing more than a series of antennas that direct the signals to the devices that we have all wirelessly. And when I give that explanation, there is no mystery anymore about what a modem is because everybody knows what an antenna is.
It's funny, as you were explaining all that, it's going like, I didn't know that. I just took the modem for granted. Like I'm so used to it now, I suppose.
Right.
But yeah, isn't that funny?
So suddenly you understand if the TV goes out, but the phone is working, there's a problem with that antenna, with that frequency, either on the sending or on the receiving side. And it makes more sense.
Okay. I should leave a pregnant pause there to let it all sink in. That's great. Okay, so your website is takethisphoneandshoveit.com. You're also on social, I think, aren't you?
Yes, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Okay. Can I ask you a personal question before we close?
Yeah, you certainly can.
Do you like to travel?
I do. I love to travel.
I do a little digging, and it would appear that you like to travel. Now, do you like new places, or do you have a couple of favorite places that you like to return to?
I love to explore any place I've never been before. To me, that is just the most exciting thing. It could be local or exotic. It just gets me very excited. And when I was in my early 30s, I spent 9 months traveling around the world. So it's just, to me, walking into a new city and learning the lay of the land is thrilling.
As you were explaining that, it occurred to me, too, that you talked about just dropping into the middle of Greece earlier. You can drop into the middle of Greece and manage because you have a translator on your phone.
Well, that is true. That is true. Yes. But the analogy is to have somebody understand that if you don't speak the language, doesn't mean that you're uneducated. It just means you don't know that piece. Uh-huh. Doesn't mean you're stupid. You just don't know that piece. Many seniors feel they're not smart enough to learn the phone. It has nothing to do with that. They just don't know the language. And by the way, for smartphones, the language are gestures. It's all about gestures. That's how we communicate with the phone. We touch it. We tap it. We swipe it. We press it.
We throw it. And no, I'm just joking.
I like to say my book will help you go from wanting to shove your phone to wanting to love your phone.
Oh, that's great. And, you know, just in an addenda to your book is the fact that one of the reasons I just said my iPhone is old because if it ain't broke, don't replace it. But the other reason I don't replace it is because if I go into a shop, the person in that shop knows what they're doing to the point that they can talk a mile a minute, leave me behind, and I'm completely stuck. So it's when you've got the book in front of you, you can just take each little piece and learn it bit by bit.
at your own pace. And the book will be a spiral binder so that it will lay flat. Because there's nothing more frustrating than trying to learn something from a book that keeps trying to close on you.
You've thought of everything. That's great.
Trying to.
Okay. Your website link is in the show notes. All of your links will be on your page at our website. Okay, listeners, confession time. Are you a smartphone ace, or do you still get frustrated or confused from time to time? And I'll be honest, some of my questions today weren't generic ask the guest questions. I wanted specific answers. Talk to us about your comfort level with your phone. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. Maybe there was a question I didn't ask, Anne. Ask it in the comments and I'll get you an answer. Maybe just a link to the book, whatever. Share this episode. Everyone should be like my mom. She bought her first computer at age 79 so she could keep up with her grands. Now, dementia claimed her brain before she could get into smartphones, but she probably would have aced that too. Whether it's to stay connected, or pass the time with a favorite game, or to listen to podcasts, so listen to podcasts, smartphones really can be your friend and ally. So share this episode with your other friends and allies. If you enjoyed this conversation, click the follow button on your favorite podcast platform, and that helps us grow. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free, and you'll get notified every time an episode is released. Anne Goldberg, thank you for being my guest today. And first of all, for assuring us we can learn what we need to learn about our smartphones. And also for reminding us about the importance, reminding us, between the two of us, we probably clobbered a few people over the head, the importance of online security.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And remember, we are all old enough to have a past and young enough to have a future.
Perfect. Have a great rest of week.
You too.